You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The truth I'm going to share with you right now will help you to have faith whenever you go before the Lord in prayer. Once you learn this truth, you will go to prayer with confidence and bold faith. I want to help you understand how to approach God when you go to pray. Far too many believers approach God with timidity, with reservations, with doubt. They wonder if God is listening to them. They wonder if their last mistake disqualified them from having an audience with God. So I want to read a portion of scripture to you here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "Dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, both Martha and Mary saw the same thing. Both Martha and Mary understood who Jesus was. Both Martha and Mary desired to have the same thing. They went about it in different ways. They both desired to please the Lord. They both desired an audience with God Himself. But they tried to obtain that audience. They tried to obtain that connection through different means. Martha chose the strain of work. She chose to perform. She chose to cook and to clean. Now, there's nothing wrong with working for the Lord. And there was nothing wrong with what Martha did in and of itself. Her working for the Lord, her desire to prepare a meal for Him, came from a good place. Only it was misplaced desire. She thought that by preparing that meal, she thought that by working hard for Him, that she could gain an audience with Him. Mary, however, chose the confidence of friendship with Jesus. Martha tried to work for it. Mary understood it was right in front of her. Prayer is not an attempt to get God's attention. You already have it. I imagine the conversation goes like this when we approach God. "God, please hear me." The Father answers, "I hear you." We say, "God, please, I beg of you, please listen to me pray." He says, "I'm listening." We say, "God, do you see me? God, do you hear me? God, I need you." God says, "Yes, I see you. Yes, I hear you. And yes, I'm here for you." We continue to berate Him with all of these requests, with the begging, with the pleading, with the tension, with the desperation, all the while He's standing there, ready to listen to you pray. Our pleadings are too loud sometimes. Our desire to pray can sometimes itself become a distraction to prayer. Our desire to have an encounter with God can sometimes become itself a distraction to having an encounter with God. We work, we strain, we toil, we exhaust ourselves with emotion, trying to establish a connection that's already there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 15 says, "And since we know He hears us," I love this, I'm going to read it again, "and since we know He hears us when we make our request," that's a knowing, "we also know that He will give us what we ask for." Since we know He hears us, that's the posture of prayer. That's the posture of confident faith. We should have confidence when we pray. Sadly, some believers don't. Our approach to the Lord's presence should be one of confidence. So much time is wasted in prayer by wondering and begging, pleading with God for His attentive ear. Now, this partially comes about as a result of a church culture of desperation. You've heard it said at the worship events, the powerful conferences, the revival services, "Come on, lift up a shout of desperation." Or they'll say, "Come on, let's get desperate in this place." Or, "Oh, if you really want a move of God, you'll do this. If you're really serious about encountering God, you'll dance around, you'll jump up and down, you'll shout really loud, you'll motion like we all motion." And sadly, for the most part, these types of attempts at crowd control are coming from a good place, yes, but more often than not, they're just attempts at hyping a crowd and creating a moment. And I find that the people who try to get the people to react in such ways are really upset when the people don't respond because they take it personal. And this is a sad approach because desperation, while it has its place, is not the way to approach God. Now, I know I'm going to be coming against some common mindsets here, so I want to really take my time with this point. Now, at best, such pleadings are a genuine attempt to get God's attention. At worst, they're someone's attempt at creating hype or momentum, where they want to be able to say, look at how well the crowd responded when I preached or when we did worship or when we did our thing. And that right there really is the flesh. They program a culture of desperation because they like the way it looks when the crowd responds to how they preach or how they worship or how they teach. Now, I'm not saying this is everyone who does such things, but many times that's the case. In other instances, it's just ignorance. It's trying to produce in the flesh what could only be produced in the spirit. Now, desperation has its place. Desperation can be used by God to get you going in the right direction. In fact, if you've heard my testimony, you know that there was a point in time where I was very desperate for the presence of God, and it was out of that desperation that I began to seek His face. Now, desperation, remember this, desperation is a great initiator, not a great sustainer. It helps you to make up for what you should have been doing all along, but it's no way to live your life. It is not a lifestyle of desperation that produces fruitful spirituality. It is a lifestyle of confident faith, of resting in Him and knowing that you're already connected with Him. If I'm hungry, it's because I'm eating regularly. If I'm starving, it's because I haven't been keeping up with my meals. Could it be that the reason we are so tense, so desperate in our pursuit of God is because we haven't truly been faithfully connecting with Him? Could it be that the reason we are spiritually starving is because we're not living in the Spirit? Could it be that the reason we're desperate for God is because we're not making daily contact with Him as we should be? Desperation implies neglect. Desperation implies begging. Servants beg. Strangers beg. Sons don't. This posture of pleading is why so many believers find themselves exhausted and unwilling to pray. When you imagine that God is at some great distance and that your prayer is an attempt to make up that distance, then you become exhausted. You become emotionally and mentally drained. You become unenthusiastic about prayer. Why? Because when you go to pray, you're not connecting with God. Rather, you're working for that connection. Now, as I said, desperation has its place. If you've been lacking in prayer, if you've been lacking in the Word, if maybe you're in some bondage from which you need deliverance, then desperation can move you to that place you should be in the Spirit. But desperation, again, while it is a great initiator, is not a very good sustainer. Confident faith is a better sustainer. Confident faith will give you what desperation never could. Imagine that I call you on the phone and the connection between us is spotty. Now, I've had some bad connections with people before, and invariably, their attempt to make up for the bad connection is always the same. They begin to yell on the phone. So instead of gibberish, it goes from being gibberish to being loud gibberish. Now they're just yelling, and the connection is still bad. And I tell them, you don't have to yell. It's not the volume, it's the connection. In the same regard, when we go to pray, we often try to make up for with emotion, with pleading, with yelling, with movement, what we lack in connection. We try to make up for with emotion what we lack in connection. It's called praying in the flesh. Now, this is by no means a noise complaint, but I must make it clear that the most powerful moves of God are found in stillness. The most powerful moves of God are found in the quiet of stillness and focus on the Lord. What am I saying? Am I saying there's no time for jubilation? Am I saying there's no time for intense worship? Am I saying there's no place to raise your voice and shout and cry out for victory? No. Those all have their place. In fact, if you come to any of my services, sometimes I do have the people shout for joy. Sometimes I do have the people shout to claim the victory. And that's okay. But what I am saying is that a lifestyle of desperation is not a great sustainer. In fact, the mindset of desperation is that my posture is constantly trying to get more from God, as if he's standing up there in heaven, looking over the balconies of heaven, going, okay, if you cry out for it for 30 more minutes, then I'll give it to you. If you shout a little bit louder, oh, you jumped off the floor, but you didn't jump. You should have jumped a few inches higher, and then I would have poured out my Holy Spirit. No, God is not in heaven doing that. In fact, everything in him that he desires to give to you, you already have in the Spirit. So it's not a matter of praying to connect with God, but praying from connection with God. If I am his and he is mine, what is this need for desperation? I want you to really think about that. If I am his and he is mine, what is this need for desperation? I belong to him. He, all that he is, belongs to me. What am I desperate for? What am I crying out for? Desperation is rooted in the poverty mindset. Desperation is rooted from the mindset of the servant and not from the son. The child of God does not plead and beg to be heard. The child of God approaches the Heavenly Father knowing, I already have his attention. Now, just for the sake of clarity, I'll mention for the third and final time that desperation, in fact, has its place. As I said, if you're lacking spiritually, God will bring you to points of desperation to help bring you forward and all the way to the place you're supposed to be. If you're living in bondage, if you're living in addiction, God will take you to the point of desperation to bring you all the way to the point of freedom. But again, I ask the question, if I am his and he is mine, what is the need for desperation? Jesus taught us to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. But look at how Jesus begins this. Let's look at this one more time. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. So Jesus starts with what? He begins with confidence. He begins with knowing his identity. He begins from the assumption that God is already hearing him. He doesn't come to prayer trying to establish an audience with God. He doesn't come to prayer begging God to give him his attention. He comes to prayer knowing he has the ear of God. My Father, our Father, hallowed be thy name. My Father, that tells me I'm connected with him, and then I know my identity as his child. Jesus didn't say, my Father in heaven, please hear my prayer. My Father in heaven, please can I have your attention? My Father in heaven, if you're listening. No, he came with confidence. My Father in heaven, and then he moves right into worship. He moves right into requesting. He moves right into praying for the establishment of God's kingdom. Jesus, again, began with confidence. He began with knowing his identity, and he began with the assumption that he was being heard. Imagine how much time we could save in prayer if, instead of begging God to hear us, we simply believed that he already did. We don't pray to connect with God. We pray from connection with God. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.